Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's 9 o'clock.
It's time for more 92.9 The Game Tonight as we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
On Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in 92.9 The Game Tonight. Atlanta Braves, late night action. 9:40 in Seattle, waiting for that one. And in the NBA, the Boston Celtics are hammering the Miami Heat early.
Porzingis went out that game, though, with a non-contact lower body injury.
They're calling it calf. A lot of people think it could be Achilles. They're obviously get some testing done. Doesn't seem to impact tonight.
No,
I had forgotten he was on Boston because I'd barely seen him in this series until game three. But they are up 17 right now as we're midway through the third quarter. So looking to take, what, a 3-1 lead?
3-1 lead, yes, sir.
So there you go on that one. Continuing your phone calls in regards to the Atlanta Falcons and their draft and where you stand on it. Are you pleased by it? And look, a lot of it comes down to Penix, and I understand that, but I will say this. Like, the rest of the draft didn't necessarily help. And I don't mean it didn't help the Falcons. I mean it didn't help the perception. Trading up to get a guy that most people had never heard of didn't help. Because a lot of people thought you could have sat where you were. And if you wanted to take Ruka Roro at 43, that you probably could have done that. But they trade up, lose an extra pick, and take him at 35. And so that was part of the frustration. I know there's concerns in general. Zero guys in the secondary taken. You double up, you triple up, really. Quadruple up if you count Zion Logue in terms of the front. And then J.D. Bertrand as a linebacker. I like the pick of Jace McClellan. I'll be honest. I think he's a very obvious role in terms of replacing Cordarrelle Patterson as RB3. And could do some damage on special teams. And same with Casey Washington. I'm not going to pretend to know a ton about the Illini receiver. We'll have to see what he does. But I would imagine try and make an impact on special teams. Where do you stand on the Falcons draft? I've been frustrated. We're going to get through it, and I'll be over that. And I'm not going to cry for, week after week. I'm venting and ranting tonight, and then we're going to move forward starting tomorrow. Because we don't need to revisit this. We may revisit it a couple years from now, but we'll get through it, and then we'll move forward, and we'll try and figure out exactly what the Atlanta Falcons are. But, yeah, I am frustrated. And, again, the crux of my argument isn't that I don't think Penix is a good player. To me, the crux is that I thought we were in win-now mode. I think Kirk Cousins came here to Atlanta believing that they were going to go all in around him, and I just don't know if this draft was that, and that's why I'm frustrated. 404-726-0929, Kareem. Start with line Aaron. Aaron, let's go to Aaron then. We'll get to Kareem in just a moment and Himothy after that. But we'll start with Aaron. What's going on, Aaron?
Hey, Abe, you and Turtle, man. You guys know what's going on. The rest of these guys talking out of both sides of their neck. The national media and some of the local media. I see you're a poker player. They said they were going all in because they were frustrated with the last 3 years of 7-10. So you hire Raheem as your coach. Then you get Cousins as your quarterback. That's your philosophy was we're going to win now. And then you know what? In the draft, this all of them deal with their first round pick. If you want to win now, when you draft, you get the help that's going to help you now. You try to find an impact player. and you try to feel your needs. And they know they made a blunder like a chess by picking Penix. You know, you should have did got, just went on and got Russell Wilson, saved Mr. Blank a hell of a lot of more money. And then, you know, like I said, you're still trying to get a Michael Vick lookalike. I don't care what it is. Atlanta has not gotten over Michael Vick. That's their problem. And then, see, I know that the media here in Atlanta, they got the kind of, well, we agree with this pick because, you know, they got to get the sound bites from the games and from the training camp. And like I said, it's just easy to spend somebody else's money because you don't care what you do when you spend. They should have thought, like, look, this is our money. What will we do? And like you and Ed Turtle said, you didn't do what your game plan said you were going to do for the year. Try to win now, and they didn't do it. Thank you, Ed.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. And look, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I was given the wrong impression. Like, did you guys feel something different after Kirk Cousins and in those comments that am I wrong for thinking that they were going to go all in and we're trying to win now? Like, maybe I misread the situation. Because if that's the case and they never gave off the impression that they were in win-now mode, then maybe you could look at this differently. But I don't know. And then here's the other thing. Here's the premise, and here's the thing that really bothers me. Because everyone wants to compare this to what the Packers did most recently. I'm not talking about Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. People want to compare this to what they did with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. And I understand that. They were both QB4 in their respective draft, Jordan Love and Michael Penix. You drafted them for the future with maybe 2 years of a prime Kirk Cousins, a prime Aaron Rodgers, whatever. However you want to compare it, however you want to make this that thing. But here's my problem. And this is the argument for me that you can't win now and win later. You're one or the other. The Packers haven't won since doing that. Like, they haven't won anything. They haven't gone to a Super Bowl. And yeah, Jordan Love looks like he might be the real deal. He might be legit. So maybe they win, but maybe they don't. Like, I'm not doing this to win the NFC South for a decade. I want to win a Super Bowl. And I thought the best opportunity to do that was with Kirk Cousins and with a first-round draft pick that would see the field this year. Again, I was under the impression they were doing everything to win now. Maybe I was wrong, because that's not what the first-round draft pick was. Let's continue at top of the lines. Kareem, what's going on, Kareem?
Hey, Pierre, what's up, my boy?
Hey, man, how are you?
Hey, I'm going to get right to it, man. Abe, I've heard you lament for the last 2 hours your frustration on the way Terry's cooking. But let's just look at it like this, Abe. You're saying you don't believe that we're in win-now mode, or we can't do one of two things, right? Win now and build for the future. Let me first preface with saying, hey, it took me a while to digest the move. But now that I'm on board with it, hey, I'm about it, right? But let's start here, right? Let's start here, hey. So you're saying, and the last caller, the previous caller, you guys don't believe that we did anything to give Kirk Cousins any weapon, or we've gotten better, right? So let's pause right there. Right now, as the team was constructed before we got Kirk Cousins, we were a quarterback away from being a playoff team. Now, you keep saying, Abe, I don't want to just win the NFC South, right? Well, man, if you get – you never know what's going to happen, Abe, come January.
Yeah, see, here's the thing, Kareem, is that – in baseball, you can get hot and make a run and win a World Series. And I think in hockey, you can get hot and make a run and win the Stanley Cup. I don't think the Super Bowl, I don't think the NFL playoffs are as fluky as that. And I don't think that you just get hot and win the Super Bowl. That's my concern. I think you have to be a good team.
Hey, look at the 2016 team. What we do? We got hot.
You didn't get hot. You had the best offense all year in the entire league. You had an MVP. It wasn't get in and see what happens. You were one of the best teams in the NFL that whole season.
We started clicking by like week 10 and 11, though. Hey, we did get hot, man. We did. But let me go on to my other point. When we talk about, all right, the boy out of Clemson, Aurora, right?
Yeah, sure.
I want to – preference was saying, and I've said this on the airways a lot of times, man. A lot of times, my boys, my brothers from the motherland, where or any place where soccer is your first passion, it translates to good feet work in the NFL and in the paint.
I don't have a problem with him. I don't have a problem with Aurora. I know a couple other people's are. My bigger issue there was just I didn't think you needed to trade and lose your third round pick for it. I don't have a problem giving him a chance. They obviously had him graded differently than some other scouting services. I'm fine with that. I just don't know if you needed to trade.
And another point, though, eh? Look at the last three big-time studs that came out of Clemson on the defensive line. Grady, Christian Wilkinson, and now Aurora. So maybe you got to give Dabo some credit. He's coaching.
Well, those aren't the only three that have come out of Clemson. Those are the three that have made it. I mean, for every one of those, there's a Cleveland Farrell that's floating around out there. No, I mean, look. Look, did the team get better in this NFL draft? Yes, they did. I mean, every team gets better in the draft. The question is, did you maximize how much better you got? And I think it's tough to say that they did. And again, you could call me short-sighted. I am being short-sighted. There's no denying that. I am talking about win now over the course of two, ideally three seasons. I admit that. But I thought that's the mode we were in. That's why it's frustrating. Himothy on line two. What's going on, brother?
What's up, man? Usually I call in and be harping on them because, I always say this is what the Falcons be doing. They Falcons be falconing. You know what I'm saying? It's be like I was telling my friends, I'm like, when everybody heard the Falcons took that trip to Seattle, y'all should have been on alert. You got to know they did not take that trip up there to be playing. When they took that trip up there, y'all should have been like, uh-oh, no way. And yes way. So then, they get no corners. Y'all got no corners. And everybody was like, Terry Fontenot been doing this on the job, and he's been making, he's been making these good draft picks at. Because Desmond Ridder should have never been on the team, ever. He should have never even been a draft pick consideration. Kyle Pitts should never went number four when he went. You know what I'm saying? So it's just overall decision-making from the front office. They just, I don't know what they're doing. Everybody knows this. The Falcons ain't had this much coverage since they lost the Super Bowl. Ain't no way everybody know they wrong.
Yeah, and appreciate the call. The other thing about this is the only time the Falcons do get coverage is when people are making fun of Atlanta. I mean, that's what happened with Desmond Ridder. Can you believe this guy's their starting quarterback? DoorDash Dez, as John Fricke calls him. Now, I will say this. Like Terry Fontenot has done an outstanding job in bringing in free agents, and we're going to need him to do that at least one more time because I don't know how else you're getting the players you need to maximize this year. Because you don't have enough in the secondary. And look, that was his bread and butter. He was scouting pro players while with the Saints, and we brought him over. And he did an outstanding job, in my opinion, with Jesse Bates, with David Onyemata, and Caden Ellis. All three major contributors last year. And I guess we're stuck with asking him to do it again. Because we got to find a corner. That guy's not on the team. We'll talk about that more tomorrow, but your cornerback, too, had better not be on the team right now, or else you're in for a long season defending a pass. 404-726-0929. We got Curtis and Scotty coming up after the break. Continuing your phone calls the rest of the evening. It's Abe Gordon taking you here till 10 o'clock on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
No, I started off today by talking about how this is my first opportunity to react to the draft in its entirety, but also just to the first round in general. And, you know, I mentioned this once or twice earlier, but I do want to say this. I know I've been ranting and, you know, getting after it a little bit. Scorched earth, if you will. But I also said this. Like, we're going to move past this after tonight, at least as far as I'm concerned. And we're going to talk about how we can fix the issues that I felt were not addressed in the NFL draft and discuss the potential of the Falcons maximizing what they can. And so, yeah, I've been complaining a little bit tonight. I've been audibly frustrated. You guys know that. But, you know, we're going to do this tonight, and then we're going to have other discussions starting tomorrow. We're not going to spend the whole offseason debating whether this was a good draft or a bad draft. We're not going to do that. Not at least I'm not going to do that. Maybe other shows. We're going to do it tonight. We're going to continue taking your phone calls over the next 38 minutes. And then we're going to move. We're going to move the needle. We're going to advance the story starting tomorrow. You're not going to hear me on here 3-4 times a week, whatever it may be, complaining about the draft every night. I'm doing it tonight. I'm venting my frustration. I'm ranting a little bit, and then we're going to move forward. And so don't be concerned. I'm going to do my best starting tomorrow night to where we don't have this discussion every single time I'm on air. I can guarantee you that. All right, 404-726-0929, chatting about the NFL draft, the Atlanta Falcons. Did you like it? Did you not like it? Doesn't have to all be about Penix. Other guys, too. I thought they found some great value in Jace McClellan, the running back out of Alabama. I thought they found some great value in the edge rusher, Braylon Trice, out of Washington. The question about Ruka Roro, he's raw. There's no doubt about it. But they believe he's got the talent, and so let's bring it out of him. 404-726-0929. We start on line 3 with Curtis. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, I'm not really upset about the draft. It's more just the continued philosophy of not building a team around needs from the inside out. I mean, it's just at some point in time, I mean, it seems like it's the definition of insanity. You keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, and yet you're still going to get the same result because you never address. And the problem I have is not that Kirk Cousins is here. it's the contract. Because you let Calvin Ridley out the door, and it's, again, the philosophy. You let Calvin Ridley out the door for nothing. All right? All last year, we did not have anybody who could stretch the field. Safety sat down on us for an entire year. And yet, it's like you're not addressing those needs. And again, we can't get to the quarterback. It is now shameful that we cannot get to the quarterback. It's really bad at this point in time. It's comical. And this is never a priority. They had the argument of you might not be this high to get another quarterback next year, whatever. Well, you may not be that high to get another quality defensive tackle or defensive end either. And it just makes no sense to me. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Curtis. I'll say this just about Ridley before we move on. Ridley had to go. There were other circumstances here. It was not a money thing. So it's tough to argue the Ridley thing and you let him go for nothing money. There were other circumstances here. A change of scenery was just simply needed. It was going to be very tough to bring him back onto the roster at that time. That's how I feel about it. In terms of people criticizing the draft because they didn't have good enough defensive players and this and that, like, someone's going to be good out of this draft on defense. And the frustration for me is you didn't even try. And it's just very tough for me to reconcile with the idea that I don't think you maximized your opportunity to win at this point. And I thought that's what the goal was. I thought that's what the game plan was. And I don't feel like you did that. And I'm frustrated that you didn't. Let's continue on the phone. Scotty on line four. What's going on, Scotty?
Hey, how you doing, bud?
Doing all right, man. Okay. What's happening?
Hey, you're killing me with one thing.
What you
how
got?
How do you know they didn't try?
Because you took Michael Penix at eight. That's why. That's an easy answer.
That's not – but I'm just saying to you, their first pick, that wasn't – had nothing to do with anything else but availability. And they told you the whole time that that's what they were going for.
I don't know what you mean. Everyone was available.
No. The best player.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I disagree with the idea of best player available when you need to address team needs to try and win now. If this is a rebuild, then continually take best player available. I agree with that. This is not a rebuild. You're trying to trim up the hedges here. You're trying to win right now. You don't do that by just blindly taking best player available. So I understand that mindset. I disagree with it.
Well, why do you disagree with it? Because so far, okay, they have built a better team than they had. They just don't have the direction they need. So they built a better team. They just don't have no direction. Okay, and now they got a new coach in there. I think it's going to change. But you're going by the old regime. Can't do that.
No, I'm not. I'm not going by any regime. I'm going by there's a difference between drafting best player available when you're in a rebuild and trying to acquire talent, no matter where it is, and when you're trying to fill specific holes that could potentially get you not just into the playoffs, but into contention for the Super Bowl.
I haven't seen any football snap yet. So they have time. They have time to acquire what you need, okay, to make you happy. But they
are you confident
that right
that's going to happen with their cap space situation?
100%, okay?
I'm not. 100%. I don't know how they get money.
How they get money?
Yeah, I don't know how they have money. They don't have money to pay. They're going to have to restructure contracts that they probably don't want to restructure.
No. You're 100% right about that. But how are they going to pay for these other players that you wanted to get on the corner and on the edge?
Yeah, I don't know how. That's my problem. That's why I'm concerned they don't do that. I don't know. They don't have money.
Okay. You don't have money, but you have two good quarterbacks for $180 million.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you have? You have tradable items, okay?
So which quarterback are you trading?
What I'm just saying to you is you have more than you had when you started today.
So what are you saying? You want to trade Kirk Cousins now?
No, I don't want to trade Kirk Cousins.
So then what are we talking about?
He hasn't failed. He hasn't failed yet, but you think everything we've done so far is a failure. You keep saying
no, I didn't say that. I've already said I think the team got better than they were before the draft. Is it the best they could have done, though? I don't think so.
Well, you said, okay, they gave away a third-round pick, okay?
Yeah.
So they had to move up.
Well, I don't think they had to move up. I think they chose to.
No, they had to move up.
Says who?
Okay. because they had information that said they needed to move up. They wouldn't have done it for no reason.
To get a player no one was interested in?
And you think nobody was interested in him, okay? To you, okay? On the board, yes. People were looking for him.
The third-round D-tackle out of Clemson.
Yep, because his size. Not because anything
else. Look, it's a great premise. I don't agree with it. Yeah, I could be wrong. Look, there's no denying I could be wrong on that. But I don't know. I don't know about that. No one got the feeling that he had to be traded up for.
They did.
Well, I know they did. They also thought they had to take quarterback when you needed to address team need. Like, I'm not concerned with how they think anymore.
I knew you was going back to the quarterback.
How do you not?
Yes. Because they needed him. How do you not need that quarterback?
Because you just paid someone $100 million to win. That's how. Because you needed someone that can make a difference on defense, and you didn't even try. That's my whole point, and I appreciate the call. That's my whole point. It has nothing to do with Michael Penix, the player. It's the idea that you didn't even try to maximize what this team is right now. You're not trying. And it's okay to not maximize the team. Then tell us that's the mode we're in. If you just want to tell me we're trying to build the best roster for sustained success, great. Guess what? That's what you just did. You have put yourself in a position to potentially win the NFC South if Michael Penix is as good as we all hope and think he will be for a decade straight. What you did not do is maximize your chances of winning a Super Bowl. And I'll say it again. Please do not confuse me saying you didn't maximize worth of your chances with the same thing as you have no chance. Just because I don't think you maximize your potential doesn't mean you can't win, doesn't mean you won't win. It makes it tougher. It makes it less likely. That's where the whole frustration stems from. I thought we were in win-now mode. Michael Penix is not a win-now pick. It has nothing beyond that. There's nothing beyond that. We're not in win-now mode, and that's okay. I just wish I had realized it sooner. And maybe that's on me, right? Like, maybe it's on me for assuming bringing in Kirk Cousins would put this team in win-now mode. I thought that was apparent based on the conversations. I guess not. And let's get into this Kirk Cousins thing, right? The reason he's frustrated, the reason he's upset, isn't because the team, quote, drafted his replacement. It's because they didn't draft a guy that can help him win. That was the same. It was the same thing with Jordan Love. It wasn't about Jordan Love and him replacing Aaron Rodgers. The frustration for Aaron Rodgers is, I think we can win now, and you didn't take the opportunity to give me a guy I can win with. It's the same thing here. Everyone knows in the NFL that your replacement gets drafted all the time. And it's up to you to hold them off. And that's fine. I think Kirk Cousins is comfortable with that. The issue for me, and again, this is just an assumption, but I have to imagine it's how the conversation went. Kirk, come to Atlanta. We're going to do everything we can to get you to a Super Bowl. And I don't think they did everything they can. That's all. It's just a different mode than I thought it was, and that's okay. 404-726-0929. Let's get a couple more here before the break. Line 5, TC is on the phones. What's going on, TC?
What's up, man? Appreciate you taking my call. I like the pick for Penix. I don't love it. I don't hate it. I think, like most people, I was kind of floored at first, but after taking a little bit of time, you know, just to look back on it, I think that Terry and Raheem, apparently they've got a different vision than what I was expecting we needed, because, I mean, they both got to know, I mean, that they can't just build the team for the future. I mean, their jobs are on the line, you know, the next season or two if this doesn't work out. But, I mean, despite everything, man, I think the real problem here and the guy we got to be mad at is Desmond Ridder, because Desmond Ridder was so bad, we had to sign a starting quarterback and draft a starting quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know if that's Desmond's fault, though. Like, isn't that Arthur Smith's fault and Terry Fontenot's fault or whoever's decision it was to believe he was the guy? Like, it's not really his fault. I can't blame Desmond Ridder for not being able to lead this team to the playoffs. Like, the problem is that anyone thought he could and was that guy. That's my concern. This all stems from me probably having, and again, I joke that it's me having the wrong approach, but I mean, come on. Didn't most of us think they were going to go all in with Kirk Cousins? And that's just not the case. It's tough to argue that's the case when you draft someone who's not going to have an impact in Kirk Cousins' time here. That's all. All right, one more. Danny on line one. We'll make it short. What's going on, Danny?
Yes. How are you? How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good, man. What's your thoughts?
Okay, my thoughts are Atlanta is not in a win-now mode. They are just lying to us. They are not. And also, this is a bad deal for Michael Penix. He could have gone to Seattle. He could have gone to the Raiders, right? So this whole deal is bad for him. But I think that they could have used this pick for a defensive player because that's what we needed. That's what we need right now. They just signed Cousins to a four-year contract. So why bring in another high-profile quarterback? It doesn't make sense to me, but at the end of the day, I just think it's a bad deal for Michael Penix.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Danny. Again, that's a era of sustainability. That's what you've done by adding Michael Penix, assuming he is the guy we all think he is, and there's always a chance he's not. But you have given yourself a franchise an opportunity for sustained success. But have you taken away your chance to win a title by doing so? That's the argument. That's the frustration for me. And I'm not saying you have, but you might have. It's going to be tougher without a first-round pick that has an impact this year or next year. 404-726-0929. One segment left getting your reactions on the other side. It's Abe Gordon here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back in. Final couple of minutes here, 92.9 The Game tonight. It's Abe Gordon live from the Kia Studios. Been enjoying the conversation both on the phones, but also on Twitter, at Abe Gordon. Feel free to follow me. Send me some thoughts there. We got five on the phones right now. We're going to try and get through all five before the end of the show. So Jacob, Ben, Lee, and Sam, hold on, but we're going to start line two with Whirl. What's going on, Whirl?
How we doing?
Doing good, man. What are you thinking about the draft?
It's disappointing. I think for anybody that has been an Atlanta fan their whole life, I was born and raised in Carrollton. It's tough because I think there was a lot of hope when Kirk was signed. There was so much goodwill. I mean, I felt like there was momentum going into this draft. And the reaction, I mean, you heard Rusty Manziel this morning tell Steve Shapiro that he was in a bar in Chicago, and there was a louder applause when the Falcons drafted Michael Penix than when the Bears drafted Caleb Williams, that they were laughing so hard that they then laughed their way to the Rome Odunze pick. And I think as I reflect on it, you could have sold me on any pick. It could have been Brock Bowers. It could have been Rome Odunze. It could have been the one we wanted, Dallas Turner. I mean, it felt like you had the first pick in the draft when it comes to the defense. And as I think about it, you know, I think Mina Kimes nailed it when she said that I find the justification to be somewhat logically incoherent, that if you're going to sell us on a win-now mentality, if you're going to tell us that we are here to win and that we have signed our quarterback and that we're all in, and then to go sign Michael Penix as basically, let's be honest, a way to basically secure their job for the future, to buffer and say that, you know, just in case, that it is a tale of two minds. You know, you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth. And so now I noticed immediately the Falcons went on selling the fan base on the pick. You know, they're like immediately, like, you know, you could see it in the war room, them selling Arthur Blank, that like, hey, this is why this is a great pick. And it's just frustrating, but I feel like I could get over that if it was for the fact that then in that next round, you take someone like Newton, who's right on the board, who is the number one defensive tackle, but you give up a third round pick for everything we went through with Calvin Ridley to get that pick, and you give it away to go get Roque Arroyo. And again, nobody was rushing out to get that player. It just becomes, as she said, Mina nailed it, logically incoherent. I feel like nobody looked at our draft with any stream of consciousness that made any sense. And thank goodness that then they took Trice, to where at least you started to feel like, okay, there's something here. And then, you know, built a little bit with Dorless, and you could say with McClellan, but I think you have to walk away from this. And I'll put a pin in it right here, but say this is, I think you have to walk away with this. You know, they say leaders need to be audacious. Well, there was a lot of audacity here. And I think that now they have made their bed, for better or worse. You know, you hope it's like the Braves with Freddie Freeman and Matt Olson, and it's not like, you know, the typical Falcons where it is just, you just struggle year after year like the Hawks through it. I really am disappointed, because at least if they had taken Newton, you know, and something like that, but I still have no clue what we're going to do at left corner. And I'd like somebody to tell me, you know, when they're taking it over the top on the Falcons this year, you know, we could have had Kool-Aid McKinstry or somebody like that, like, you know, and you gave that up to go get Arroyo, is even past the Michael Penix pick. Let's just get past that. Is you still have no answer at left corner, and you took a defensive tackle who was ranked 8th when you had the number one defensive tackle on the board. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Whirl. And look, a lot of similarities between the way you're speaking and thinking and the way I'm. It's just, to me, it was just the premise of maximizing your ability to win now, and you don't do that by taking the quarterback there. And then you're right. Like, the rest of the draft was frustrating for its own reasons, and I don't think you needed to give up what could have been a valuable third-round pick to get a Roto-Ro. And look, I'll give them an opportunity to be right about him. I don't care where he was in the rankings. I'm not going to dump on him. It's just a matter of, they better be right about that, because – that was an opportunity to take a corner that maybe could have been impactful in the third round, and who knows. But I felt like he would have been there at 43. That's where nothing is going to change my mind on that. And look, I don't care where he was ranked on the boards and amongst other tackles. Like, this is a guy that they liked what they saw. I'm comfortable with that. I just don't think they need to trade up for him. Continuing on the phones, trying to get through four more. Jacob on line 3. What's going on, Jacob?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on, bro?
Hey, so really, at the end of the day, it's on every one of us who believe that this franchise could change their ways and honestly put a winning product out there on the field. I'm 29 years old.
The thing is, they're going to win.
Well, yeah, they're going to win, but they're not going to win at all.
Because they didn't go all in. As far as I'm concerned, because they didn't go all in. Right.
Yeah, correct. Now, you bring Kirk Cousins in, cool. It looks like you're going to go all in, and then you sit put and do nothing, and you draft the guy that you led everybody to believe you weren't going to. So you did nothing realistically in the first round at an impact spot to help your team this year when you said you're going all in, and then you did the opposite. You didn't do anything later on really to help, because you still didn't get a corner. You drafted another running back. That's a great value, but still, you drafted a third running back. But you didn't get a killer off the edge. You didn't get a killer up the middle.
Well, we'll find out. I'm not going to say they didn't get one yet. We'll find out. But they spent 4 picks trying to find one. You hope one of them works out. But I think it's tough to say that, you know, right now, they at least addressed the front need. And I appreciate the call, Jacob. They at least tried to do something up front. They spent 5 picks on your front 7, if you include the linebacker from Blessed Trinity, J.D. Bertrand, out of Notre Dame. And so they at least are trying there. But, again, it wasn't a team with one need. You had multiple needs on the defensive side, and we're hoping they filled one, which is pass rush. But there's still other issues along the line there. Ben on line 4. What's going on, Ben?
Hey, what's going on, Abe?
How are you?
I'm doing well. So I guess my thing is, I feel like we're all frustrated about the draft, and kind of like somebody said earlier, I mean, we haven't even seen really anybody play, and it's kind of like, you know, like give them a chance, right? But my opinion is that, I mean, with the eighth pick with Michael Penix, I feel like, yeah, that was creative, you know, drafting a QB no one expected. But it kind of gave us an additional asset. You know, now we have three quarterbacks that are not bad, possibly. I mean, Michael Penix and Heinicke and, you know, obviously.
How does that help me now? How does that improve the team now?
Well, listen, I guess this is what I was going to say. We have an asset there to trade. It is inevitable for a quarterback to get injured during the season, possibly a starting quarterback. So Heinicke may actually be a person that people want. And that's an asset for us. We can fleece somebody, get picks for Heinicke, somebody that we don't even need. And I feel like that's a, you know, not a bad thing to have. I agree.
Yeah, look,
really
Heinicke's not fleecing anyone. He's got almost no value. Almost no value.
I don't know about that. I mean, he's a all right quarterback.
He's a career look
that can win playoffs.
He's an NFL quarterback, so understand what I'm saying here. But he's a career loser. Yeah. But like, there's a reason.
Okay.
No, I mean, it is what it is. Like, you just look at what he's done. Look at what he did last year when he wasn't any better than Desmond Ridder was.
I'm not necessarily denying that he's a great QB or trying to argue that. I'm just saying when a team is in need, they're going to look for somebody, and Heinicke may be an asset for us.
He might. There's going to be a lot of guys before. I appreciate the call. I got to try and get a couple more in. Look, if the premise behind drafting Penix was at some point you'll be able to trade Heinicke for a fourth-round pick, I don't know what to tell you in regards to that value. No one's trading for Heinicke in terms of anything significant. You're not fleecing someone for Heinicke. Lee is on line 5. Going to wrap things up with Lee and then Sam. Lee, what's going on?
Hey, Abe, how you doing?
Doing good, man.
Yeah, I think it's just arrogant on that part of getting Penix in that first round. I mean, unfortunately, if all things go well, he's not going to play for 2 to 3 years. And like you said, everybody's saying now is we could have had someone on the defense, or if you want to go all in on offense, there's plenty of weapons there to try to outscore them.
Right.
Thing is with Penix is our offensive line's not getting any younger. You have a guy with history with injuries, and now if he does come in, you got to protect that guy. I mean, he's had history of injuries, and you still got to protect him. And how many first round quarterbacks actually make it?
It's 46%. 46% is what they deem to be the hit rate on quarterbacks in the first round.
So we potentially have one that might hit in 2 to 3 years at 46%.
Right.
So we betted all that. I mean, I'm not totally – Kirk Cousins was our best chance, but if you were going down this route, you're much better off saving your draft stock there, and you could have taken Fields with a sixth-round, fifth-round pick and then get Penix and then still get your offense or defensive help that you needed without trading down for that third round. We gave up a third-round pick. Not to mention, next year, we're probably going to lose one, if not two, draft picks for the fiasco with Cousins with talking to the trainer. So we still got that hanging over our heads. So we're going to lose draft capital next year for that.
Yeah, again, I don't know how serious it's going to be. I know we had a caller earlier that suggested it'd be a first-rounder. I don't know if it's going to be that. I know Miami lost the first-rounder for their dealings with Tom Brady. I don't think it's that severe. But, yeah, you're going to lose a pick of some significance. And again, the thing for me is just like – if this was the plan and you wanted to go with Michael Penix, then I don't need Kirk Cousins at all. I would have been very comfortable taking Michael Penix at 8 if you don't have Cousins. Spend the money that you had on Cousins on someone defensively. Get the guys you need, whether it's at corner, whether it's at pass rusher, and go to work. But trying to do both, it just befuddles me if the premise, what I was led to believe, is that you're winning now. Final call of the night goes to Sam. What's going on, Sam?
So here's the deal. The idea that the Falcons were in win now mode, this is not true. That team that was on the field last year was more than a Kirk Cousins and a Dallas Turner away. I mean, Kirk Cousins is 36 years old, coming in off a blown Achilles. The idea that you're going to win it all in 2 years when 90% of his guaranteed money is due, that's not the team that was on the field last year. So basically what they did is that Kirk Cousins bought them time. Michael Penix bought them the future. So, I mean, I wasn't necessarily on board with the Kirk Cousins deal anyway because he's old and injured. So, I mean, actually, I agree with one thing the last caller said. You would have been cheaper doing what Pittsburgh did. You would have been cheaper going the Justin Fields route for a fifth-round pick and drafting the quarterback for the future, which is kind of what you did, except for you spent $150 million extra that you didn't have to spend. But the Falcons are not in win-now mode. This is not a win-now team, even with Dallas Turner and a 36-year-old Kirk Cousins coming off a blown Achilles. This is not a win-now team. They built for the future.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Sam. And like I said, like he believes that they're not able to win now, and I totally understand that. But my whole thing was is that I thought we were. I thought that was the whole premise. And if you're not in win-now mode, if you can admit that you're not going all in with Kirk Cousins, then I'm open to the idea of Michael Penix being your draft pick and looking for the idea of sustained success. But here's the catch. I don't think that's what they told Kirk Cousins, and I don't think that's what they portrayed to the public. I think they were in win-now mode. Whether they could or couldn't is a different story. But I think they were in that mode, and then the draft pick says otherwise, and I don't know where to go from there. All right, that's going to do it here, 92.9 The Game tonight. Great stuff on the phones. Appreciate all the interactions on Twitter as well, at Abe Gordon. We'll continue through the night. I'm going to stay up late, watch the Braves game. So if you want to keep tweeting at me about Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix, the Falcons draft, we can do that. I'm going to be back with you tomorrow. We're going to have more Falcons discussion, but it's going to be of a different tone. I've told you. We're moving on now. All right? I've vented. I've ranted. The frustration is out. Now we're on the path to recovery starting tomorrow night. I'll be back with you 7 o'clock on 92.9 The Game tonight. It's Abe Gordon, 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.